Now, can you take us back to the early days of your musical journey? How did this project of yours first come together, and what were your initial goals and inspirations?
It starts off where you just kind of, let's see if I can do this, you know, and then you kind of take it a little step further. It's like some sort of rock climbing expedition until you get borderline suicidal with it. There's something very mystical about a guitar, and I didn't understand how it worked. So I found one in the basement closet of our house growing up, and I just spent a whole summer learning it. And then I was like, I wonder if I can write a song. I wonder if I can write two songs. I wonder if I can sing the song. I wonder if I can play with a band. You know, I'm still doing that. It's the same kind of curious thing.
At what point did things start to feel like it was more than just the passion? When did music become a full-time pursuit?
I mean, it was always a full-time pursuit, and I would just pretend to do other things. There was never really, I think, since I was like six or seven, you know, never really a day that was an epiphany or anything.
Was there a moment that felt like a turning point where what you were doing took off and you're like, oh, I can do this now?
Why do you say that? I don't know. It seemed like, you know, maybe playing, but it was never like, oh, I can do this now. I think I could always do it at some level. You know, some people play music more easily than others. Some people work at it and they get it, you know, but it's one of the one things in my life that playing an instrument was, people go, hey, you're good at that. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. But like when I was a child, you know, you just naturally, but playing it, I think in Montreal's selling out the 100 cap room, Casa del Popolo, it's like kind of where everybody plays. When, you know, it's like sold out, 100 people, 100 strangers minus two friends, maybe. You think, how is this possible? You know, that's what I mean. You think that's it. You're like, that's it.
You've reached the top.
Yeah. It really is just a series of tops. You know, like, what's the difference?
How has your approach to recording evolved over the years from the early days to the current day?
It's kind of similar. I always wanted to record live and have a really organic sound. I don't really use any click tracks or anything. It's always just kind of live in the room, but I just kept making mistakes, like very simple rookie mistakes, like having the drums next to the piano and then realizing that it made the drums sound far away when you turned up the piano. So just a series of, it's kind of like painting, and you realize, oh, I got a splotch there, and I'm going to put down rugs that I don't worry about getting stains on. So I guess now we're just, but it's kind of the same. I do kind of build everything around the drums and a live vocal. That's kind of what I stumbled on at one point, just having the drums in there with the live vocal and then building everything around it. It's kind of the most fun way of doing things.
Do you tend to go into the studio with fully formed songs, or do you go into the studio and see what happens?
It's like I do it like kind of old school. I write a song. I'll book studio when I have like 12 or 14, maybe 15 songs. And then I know that four or five of them cannot work out or fight me, and I don't have to struggle. But all the songs are done, and I have a pretty good idea of the arrangement. And then I just, I book the band. It's all about getting a take that feels good. And usually it's pretty obvious that which take is better than the others. Yeah, and then you can't beat it. I usually try to do a couple more takes after that to the chagrin of my band, but I just want to see if we can beat it.
Yes.
So it's kind of bittersweet, because once you do a take you like, you're not very self-aware, so you're not really enjoying the moment. I mean, you are, but you're not, you don't know that it's the take. And so sometimes you're kind of and all of a sudden you go, oh shit. So usually I do one more for fun, you know, and then that's usually the one on the record. Usually the one where I'm not thinking at all is the one on the record.
On the thinking note, thinking about your live shows, how have they changed since you started touring? Musically, emotionally, logistically?
You know, I get to add more people in the band to try to make the record sound, make the live show sound more like the record. I don't mean to do it. The tempos are a bit faster. I think just the tempos on the record are a bit slow. It might just be about pulse rate. I think when you're in the studio and you're quiet, then your pulse rate's lower, and so your tempos are lower. And then when you're amongst hundreds or thousands of people, then you get excited, so you're kind of matching that energy. Yeah, I think the shows, it's hard to explain because I don't really know how to talk about music. They just kind of getting more fun. I feel like I'm just starting out how to play live, just figuring some things out, because you make so many mistakes at the beginning, you know.
I think most people feel like they can keep pushing. There's always something just over the hill, always something else to reach for.
Yeah, and we're never really at the top of the hill anyways. It's like, you know, it's mostly a list of complaints in the leading up to the show, you know, because it's like, oh, it'd be nice to have a guy that just tunes the guitars and another guy that just makes sure that the piano pedal is, you know, that's, it's like, you're like, oh, it'd be nice if, I had an extra guitar on stage for this song. Yeah, so that's always like, you know, this is always a thousand little compromises that when you're playing, you don't think about. But before you go, oh, yeah, I really wish that I had that guitar without that one frequency. It's pretty specific. It's quite technical what's unsatisfying, but like, oh, this guitar is feeding back on this specific frequency, so it's not fun. Like, it's really nerdy, but, you know?
Yeah.
So, it makes me much better.
Is there a particular mindset or routine that you tap into before going on stage nowadays compared to when you first started?
I just try to spend more. When I first started out, I didn't necessarily always know what made for a bad show. And then, you know, after a little while, I realized, oh, it's when I'm not. Everyone's always like, oh, let's go out and have dinner and chat. And you know, it sounds nice, but it's like, yeah, it doesn't work for me. It throws me out. So I try to just be quiet. And maybe I'll work on the set list. Even if the set list stays similar, it's nice to add a song or here or there and remember where you are. It sounds stupid, but you can just get up there and forget how much you're delighted to be there. Didn't take a second to take it in.
Excellent. What can people expect from the show at Double Whammy this Wednesday?
Well, this one, I won't have my band with me. I have to go home. But I'm just going to play whatever. It's kind of fun, though, being solo, so I can play whatever I want. So I'm going to do that. I have a really great vintage piano and nice guitars, so I'm just gonna kind of play whatever songs, whatever the greatest hits, as they call them. And but I'll have everything: piano, guitar, electric guitar. Yeah.
Leif Vollebæk there. Catch him on Wednesday at Double Whammy. Get your tickets from Ticketek. This is Leif Vollebæk with Long Blue Light.